Chevrolet announced earlier this month that the company is moving towards an all-electric future. That word comes as Tesla continues to scale up production of a growing line of cars.
But how smooth is the road ahead for the company headed by Elon Musk? Lake Effect Automotive contributors Dan Harmon and Mark Savage talked this month about Tesla's plan to produce 500,000 cars a year in the future, and whether it is technology or just plain old manufacturing logistics that could get in the way.
You know, anybody who's an idea person and an inventor and so forth like he is and wanting to use all this new technology, I think it's easy to get wrapped up in kind of that techie end of things, which is all computers and kind of internal, you know, things you're doing in your head and doing on your screen, and you got, you know, 5 or 10 people working on a project and turning it into something really fabulous. And they've done a great job of all that. But now that they've hit a certain level and they want to build more than just one model of car and make 50 of them a year, you know, they're getting into that bigger manufacturing. I mean, they bought the NUMMI plant out in Fremont, California, that used to be a Toyota and GM plant. And they've got to make it work and build more than, you know, 10 cars a day. You've got to be cranking out 500 cars or whatever the maximum is out there to get to that 500,000 in the course of a year or two. Yeah, so that's old world technology, other than the fact that you've got the robots that are helping you put the cars together along with the people who are watching the machines and making sure that it is done just right.
And what I find interesting about all this is that the image of Tesla is very high tech. You know, it's a long-range electric car, certainly a technological achievement. But at the same time, it's a old school, in a way, manufacturing. I mean, you have to have a plant, you have to have equipment, you have to have labor. So in some ways, is it still high tech, or is this now a more typical automotive manufacturing facility?
Right. Well, I think, you know, the manufacturing, it is much more typical, and, you know, he's trying to join the big boys and make more of them, so he's not a specialty car maker anymore. So, yeah, now it comes down to it's kind of the unions or the pact that the unions want to help, you know, unionize the plant. The workers, what do they think? Are they buying into the, you know, whatever the mindset is of and the image of Tesla? Or I know that one of the things they've said that they're going to offer stock options in the company as opposed to higher wages. Well, for some of us, we need the money up front. For some of us, we're willing to work at this for 5 or 10 years and then hope that we get rewarded down the way. And I think, like any private company, or now they're public, but even so, any private company mindset is, you know, you keep things secret, you do things on your own, and you don't want to lose your technology. And I think that may be what hurts you most with employees, because they want to know what's going on in that plant, and they want to know that things are safe, and they want to know that if something isn't working right, that it's being addressed, not just that, you know, down the road somewhere it's going to get fixed.
And as they grow with this pretty ambitious goal, which I believe 500,000 cars a year, not that long away, just a couple of years away, that's the goal anyway, some very old school issues are arising, things that we don't really hear about much anymore in automotive manufacturing. It's things such as, you know, having to work these incredible number of hours, or workplace injuries, which you don't really hear that much about in more mainstream automotive manufacturing anymore, just because the labor and regulations have kind of reached this sort of equilibrium between what are too many hours and what is too unsafe. So in some ways, because it's so new, that these issues are now coming back, issues that really haven't seen in decades.
Right. And I think you hit on it, that it is because this is a new operation, in that, like I say, that they're ramping things up to make more cars. So they haven't had to face this in the past because they didn't have as many workers, and they didn't have as many of these issues because they weren't cranking out the cars and the numbers that require the line to be speeded up and the people to do things faster, or maybe to be cross-trained to be able to do 2 or 3 different things. So, yeah, it's going to be a learning process for them. And like anybody starting a new business, they've got to learn to deal with that. And whether the plant becomes unionized or whether they just start, you know, working to solve some of these problems on their own, I think that's the measure of how progressive they're going to be, because the reason that many unions came up in companies, especially manufacturing companies over the years, because the management of the companies was not responding to the workers, or either wasn't protecting them, wasn't paying them enough, or wasn't giving them the right working conditions. So I think that things will change. It's just a matter of whether it's a forced change or whether Tesla on its own comes to the realization that maybe some of these things need to be dealt with quicker, and maybe set up some sort of a program within the company to have the employees have more input to make it either, whether it's safer or just, you know, limiting the number of hours a person can work so that they don't do something that ends up getting somebody hurt or damages the product. And now you start sending out, you know, crummy vehicles. That's the other thing they have to watch, is they got to keep their quality really high. They're charging premium prices right now for all their products. And, you know, if they get the newer, smaller model out, maybe that will start to change some. But if I'm paying $75,000 to $100,000 for a car, I pretty much expect it to be perfect when I get it. And they've had some, you know, safety issues that obviously are high-tech related too, like the autopilot not working and the one fatality they had with that.
Do you think it's too much of a stretch to suggest that are we watching as kind of a microcosm of automotive manufacturing history? Because I just can't help think that around the time that the Model T became the car for the masses and production was ramped up, like these same issues were happening, you know, more than a century ago, or right around a century ago. So do you think that this is a good kind of little microcosm of history of what, you know, it might have felt like way back when automotive manufacturing was just taking off?
Well, absolutely. And you think to yourself, you know, in our lifetimes, there aren't a lot of car companies that got started up and are out still creating cars. I mean, you know, what do we have? Tucker, and we have DeLorean and a few people like that, that they made a few of something and then that was that, because either the cars didn't sell or they didn't get the financing or they couldn't keep the plants open because they didn't have the cash flow. So Tesla's dealing with all of that. You know, they're not unlike, I think, the Silicon Valley type companies, the computer companies and cell phones and so forth, and the Silicon Valley type companies, the computer companies and cell phones and so forth, and they've got to make the product and make it right. And of course, many of them have shipped a lot of that offshore. I'll give Tesla the credit of at least currently trying to work within the U.S. borders to get this thing made. And I believe they've got around 10,000 workers now out in California. That's a pretty good size plant to get coordinated and not only make the product but make it safe for the workers and make it so that they're happy workers, comfortable workers, you know, not working 90 hours a week or whatever. So it will be interesting to watch. And like I say, it is kind of a throwback to earlier times, but with a lot more maybe on the line at this point and a reputation of the whole company there.
So I guess there's all these issues tied together, of course. You mentioned there are accidents and a fatality. So as they grow rapidly, are they going to be able to keep up? Is quality going to slip? Are there going to be more safety issues, both with customers and with manufacturing? I guess I'm asking for a prediction, but do you have a feeling on that yet?
Well, why not? I think it's just a natural thing that the more they do, the more cars they produce, there's going to be some errors or problems. And some of it is that some of this is brand new technology that they've been working on. And so it depends on how much testing they're doing of their own product before it gets out the door. But yeah, there have been a few problems. The autopilot, obviously, and I think everyone's, you know, moving towards all this autonomous vehicle stuff, which we've talked about in the past. You know, this is new stuff and there's going to be some problems. You would like to hope that it doesn't lead to fatalities and that no one putting it together gets hurt seriously putting it together, because I think that's a lower risk, generally speaking. But they've had the autopilot, they've had electric park brake that has been a problem, at least to some degree. And I know the Institute of Highway Safety did not give them their highest rating recently. They did a couple others like the Prius and the Volt, but the Tesla fell a little short because the driver's seatbelt didn't restrain the driver quite enough and they could actually hit their head on the steering wheel. Well, you know, these are things that are going to happen because you're making more and more and they're getting out there and the cars are into more situations that they haven't been in the past. So people are going to, you know, there's no testing like real world testing. And unfortunately, if you're the person who bought it, that, you know, you're kind of the guinea pig in your own way. And so, yeah, some of these things are going to sneak through and something's not going to work right. So let's hope that nothing's too horrible and that they correct it and that they can keep rolling. And I mean, I think it's a great thing because I think they're pressing the auto industry forward in their own way. Some of us are not as wild about autonomous cars as others, but it's certainly interesting. And if that's the way we're going to go, that's the way we're going to go. And they're taking the lead on it.
I find it interesting that you use the phrase guinea pig, where when things are going well, you're considered an early adopter. And if there's an accident, you're a guinea pig.
Yeah, well, there's a fine line between early adopter and guinea pig, I think.
So at this point, do you consider Tesla to be more of a manufacturing company, or are they still a tech company? Or do you want to combine them into high-tech manufacturing company?
Yeah, I think they're more the high-tech manufacturing company. Like I say, their product has a lot of high-tech features to it, as all the cars do now, actually. But, you know, that they have a very high-tech product that they're trying to get out the door, and now they're trying to manufacture it in great numbers. So they're working their way towards becoming a major manufacturing company also. And, you know, who knows what will come from that. Maybe they'll have some other products that spin off of that and won't just be cars that they're doing, but other things that either they're selling us to add onto our cars or that there's something totally different.
Yeah, well, they already do sell, at least sell technology to current manufacturers like Volvo.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, why? It's kind of the don't keep reinventing the wheel. If somebody's already figured it out, let's, you know, buy that technology from them and put it into your vehicles. And I know we've talked about this with the autonomous cars in the past. That's why I'm saying and predicting still eventually there'll be 2, 3, 4 car brands because branding won't matter too much because we'll all have the same technology in our cars, which you're seeing. You know, some of the $15,000 to $25,000 cars now have some of the same high-tech stuff that the luxury makes had 5 years ago. So it's working its way down to the rest of us.
And as a final question, this number Elon Musk has for production, which is 500,000 cars, I believe, annually, that is a lot of that is the new car, the car for the masses, if you will, the smaller one. What are your predictions on that car? Is it a make or break proposition for them?
Well, I think most small cars for most of the manufacturers are mainly people to get people into your brand. They're kind of the loss leaders. They get them into your brand and then they want to buy the next model up. So my guess is that they're not looking to those entry-level cars for huge amounts of profits. I mean, obviously, you'd like to break even or make a little profit on it. But I think that they're looking to help build the brand and say it's not just this Model S that's $100,000 out here. You can get in at this level and then 5 years later maybe move up to the next level. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, when you're 45, 50 and you're a CEO somewhere, you can buy that S model. But so I think, you know, I think they'll do all right. I think they have been successful so far. And I have no reason to believe that they won't be successful in rolling this out. I think their main challenge that they have to watch is how they do business so that they keep making a profit and or make a profit, maybe not keep making one, but make a profit, and they have the finances to keep them going forward until they've reached that sustainability part of the business.
Okay, Mark. Well, there's certainly an interesting company to watch.
It's a lot of fun to watch. I wish there were 3 or 4 more car makers, new car makers out there. That'd be fun.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Mark Savage writes the Auto Review column Savage on Wheels for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and SavageOnWheels.com. He's also the executive editor of American Snowmobiler Magazine and the editor of Fine Scale Modeler Magazine. They're both part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars.